A 16-week structured training plan is the central approach for preparing a beginner to finish a first half Ironman 70.3. The race consists of a 1.9-kilometer swim, a 90-kilometer bike ride, and a 21.1-kilometer run, with an overall cutoff of about 8 to 8.5 hours. Success depends on progressive training, realistic goal setting, proper recovery, and race day discipline. Only 23% of age group triathletes complete a first half Ironman without a proper training structure, so the plan is designed to build endurance safely while reducing injury and burnout risk. Before starting, athletes should have a basic fitness foundation. Baseline standards vary slightly, but the main requirements are comfort swimming for at least 15 to 60 minutes, cycling 3 times per week with long rides around 20 miles, and running 3 times per week with long runs around 5 miles. Training should require about 6 to 10 hours per week, with 8 to 10 hours considered more realistic for a serious 70.3 preparation. If the athlete does not meet these baselines, the plan should be extended to build the necessary foundation first. Essential gear includes a wetsuit for cold water, goggles with a spare swim cap, anti-chafe lubricant, a properly fitted bike, helmet, cycling shoes, water bottles, spare tubes, tire repair kit, running shoes, race belt, socks, cap or visor, tri-specific clothing, sunscreen, and nutrition and hydration supplies. Smart equipment choices matter more than expensive gear. For a first 70.3, the main goal should be completion rather than competition. Average age group athletes finish around 6 hours, while the cutoff is much longer. The best approach is to use SMART goals: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. The large outcome goal of finishing the race should be broken into smaller process goals, such as swimming 3 times per week or completing all scheduled long rides. This helps maintain motivation and builds race-ready fitness. The 16-week plan is organized into phases. The early base phase focuses on consistency, low-intensity aerobic work, and building the body's ability to use oxygen and fat efficiently. The build phase increases volume and intensity, adding threshold work, intervals, and longer weekend sessions. The peak phase simulates race demands with high-volume, race-specific workouts, including longer rides, longer runs, and extended brick sessions. The final 2 weeks are a taper, where training load is reduced so the athlete arrives fresh. A typical training week includes about 9 workouts, 3 swims, 3 bike rides, and 3 runs. Some weeks replace standalone workouts with brick sessions, which combine 2 disciplines back-to-back to simulate race transitions. The plan also follows a pattern of 3 weeks of progressive loading, followed by 1 recovery week with reduced volume. Recovery is treated as essential, not optional, because the body adapts and strengthens during rest. Time allocation should reflect the race distance and the athlete's weaknesses. In a typical 10-hour week, the recommended split is about 3 hours of swimming, 5 hours of cycling, and 2 hours of running. If cycling is a weakness, bike time can increase to 6 hours, while swim time drops to 2 hours. If swimming is the weakness, pool time can increase to 4 hours, while cycling is reduced. Running should remain frequent, but not overly long, to reduce injury risk while still building the ability to run after swimming and cycling. The most important workouts are long endurance sessions and brick workouts. Long rides should progress to several hours, with a mix of steady rides, hill sessions, and long endurance rides. Long runs should gradually build to about 2 hours at an easy to moderate effort. The goal of long sessions is not to suffer, but to teach the body to sustain effort efficiently. Brick workouts are especially important because they prepare the body for the transition from cycling to running. 3 main types are used: a cycle emphasis brick, where a long ride is followed by a shorter run, a run emphasis brick, where a moderate ride is followed by a higher quality run, and a race simulation brick, where a ride at race-specific tempo is followed by a run close to race pace. These sessions build both physical adaptation and mental toughness. Swim training should focus on technique and open water skills, not just pool speed. Key drills include single-arm drills to isolate stroke mechanics, sidekick drills to improve balance and breathing rhythm, and Tarzan or water polo drills to strengthen the neck for sighting. Open water practice should include sighting every 6 to 10 strokes, drafting to save energy, and pack swimming. Drafting can save about 3 to 7% of energy, and consistent open water practice is more important than pool time alone. Tapering is critical in the final 7 to 10 days before the race. Training volume should be reduced by about 40 to 60%, while some intensity is maintained to keep the athlete sharp. The last long run should occur about 16 to 17 days before the race, and the last long bike ride about 10 to 11 days before. Swimming can remain at normal volume until 3 to 4 days before race day. Feeling sluggish during the taper is normal and usually indicates the taper is working. The athlete should avoid adding extra hard workouts to test fitness. Race day preparation should be detailed and simple. The swim gear list includes wetsuit, goggles, spare goggles, swim cap, and anti-fog solution. The bike list includes helmet, cycling shoes, repair kit with spare tube, and nutrition supplies. The run list includes running shoes, race belt, hat or visor, and sunscreen. Other items include timing chip, body lubricant, and sunglasses. Athletes should arrive early to secure a good transition spot and follow the rule of nothing new on race day. Pacing is a major factor in finishing successfully. Beginners often swim too hard. The swim should be treated as a warm-up at about 6 to 7 out of 10 effort. On the bike, the target is about 80 to 85% of power threshold, keeping normalized power close to average power. The run requires pacing discipline because it follows the swim and bike. Nutrition is essential over the full 70.3 distance. The recommended race fueling target is 60 to 90 grams of carbohydrates per hour and 500 to 700 milligrams of sodium per hour. Fluid intake should be planned ahead of time, and the run should include slightly reduced carbohydrate intake, about 50 to 60 grams per hour, while maintaining electrolyte balance. All nutrition should be tested during training, so nothing unfamiliar is used on race day. The key takeaway is that a first half Ironman should be approached as a structured endurance project, not a single race day challenge. The athlete should build a base first, master brick workouts, taper strategically, focus on completion rather than competition, and fuel consistently. Recovery is as important as hard training, because adaptation happens during rest. The 16-week plan works because it balances progressive overload with strategic recovery, builds race-specific fitness, and prepares the athlete mentally and physically for the demands of a 70.3.